Cascadia was born of fire and ice. This string of 19 volcanic peaks stretch from Canada to California. Sulfur, lava, ocean mist, evergreens, and fog co-mingle to create one of the world's most haunting, mysterious realms. There are rumors a network of lava tubes connect the mountains beneath the surface. From ancient alien civilizations to Sasquatch to legends of the Watchers to underground libraries gilt in gold, Curious Cat is exploring the origins of these dark rumors in search of truth. Yes, folks, lace up your hiking boots. We're venturing into the woods of the Cascade Mountain Range for an unforgettable season 3. Find all Cascadia episodes on your regular Curious Cat stream. The special season art was created by Nora's Unnamed Photos. Follow them on Instagram to keep up with their latest creations. So if you streamed Cascadia's Mount St. Helens episode, then you know I held back the accounts of Sasquatch that go back more than a century. In fact, battles between two ape men led to the naming of Ape Caves and Ape Canyon. There's even a slew of modern-day sightings at Spirit Lake. It nearly killed me not to share those accounts. It really did. But I didn't want to shortchange the subject of Sasquatch. He deserves his own full episode. With me to explore this mystery is Derek Condit. He's the owner of my absolute favorite store, Mystical Wares, in Mount Vernon, Washington. They're online too. He's a teacher, a healer, an inventor, a podcaster, and soon to be author. Welcome to the show, Derek. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm happy to be on Curious Cat as well. This should be a lot of fun.
Oh, it should be. So I've been doing this deep dive, like just straight up front. I've been doing this course that David Politis, the missing 411 guy, is offering on YouTube for free. It's like a 20-segment course that he's doing just dedicated to Bigfoot. And so I've been trying to do that as background, but you were the absolute perfect guest to come on the show today. So thank you.
Oh, great. Yeah. No, I'm happy to be here. I'm always happy to talk about Bigfoot and Sasquatch as well. So yeah, a lot of interesting stories. And I think all, as you mentioned, the soon-to-be author. So I think I'm going to talk about a story that kind of made it into my new book I'm writing too for the first time. So that should be fun.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. So can you bring us back to the beginning? When did you first know about Bigfoot or Sasquatch, and when did it catch your attention?
Oh, wow. I guess that would be, first learning about it, back in my teens, of course, hearing the stories, watching the TV shows, the documentaries, all that kind of thing, reading the books. But as far as personal, so I have a background of that, probably the typical person. But then getting into my personal experiences, that brings us up to, I think it was probably 2016-ish, something like that. I actually was living in the town of Gold Bar, which is in Washington State, right at the base of the Cascade Mountains. So we're talking about just deep forest everywhere. And I was literally in the mountains. So that was an interesting place to be. And actually at the time, I was a correctional officer, a prison guard. So I was actually working in the graveyard shift at a maximum security prison in, for those that are listening that maybe know the area, in Monroe, Washington. Mm-hmm. We're talking, it was on Highway 2, again, so that somebody can reference if they know the area, because it's kind of a known spot that I'll describe here in a moment. But I was going to my night shift. I'm telling you that because it was just before it was starting to get dark out. So I don't know, it was maybe 5 in the afternoon or so. Driving in on Highway 2, and I've seen a lot of interesting things with my sight, as I like to call it. And it's sometimes, I'll admit, hard to tell or differentiate between the physical and the metaphysical, because I see stuff. So what I'm saying is, when I first had this sighting, I wasn't sure if others around me were seeing it or if it just I was. But I was driving down Highway 2 heading towards Monroe, the city, and on the side of that street, and people can Google Earth this if they're interested later, and you can zoom in on that spot, and there's a little mini church on the side of the road that's about 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
It houses maybe two people literally sitting in there. So it's a little tiny chapel, tiny thing for hikers to pull over just before they head up to the mountains for climbing, for different things. And I'm referencing that because that was approaching when I was driving towards the prison, and I saw ahead of me a figure crossing the highway, and I was still driving this time, so I was going toward it, and it was still in front of me. So I'm like, well, you know, that's unusual. That's odd. And it first caught my attention because it was dark in contrast to everything else, and large. And I'm probably going 55 miles an hour at this point. I don't know the distance, probably not even half a mile in front of me, so a little distance ahead. And then as I get closer, I realize, well, that's too big to be a person. And then being from this area, well, yeah, the first thing that jumps to my head is, am I really seeing a Sasquatch trucking across Highway 2 while I'm going to work? And I already know they're real because I've had dozens of encounters where it was audible or just straight communication, things like that. You know, I'd call it telepathy, to stuff being thrown. All this typical stuff you'd see on any Bigfoot or Sasquatch show. Been there, done that. And I'm not mocking it, but it's a lot of fun. But I had all that. In fact, I kind of jumped in. So I'll have to back up in a minute, different story. One gifted us something, and I'll get into that. But to finish this story, as I was driving, again, I'm still a correctional officer. I was there 16 years. Driving, saw the figure. It didn't take but 10 seconds because, again, I was going toward it. I realized, oh, my gosh, that's Bigfoot. And he's, by this time, I don't know, three steps at best. He's across the highway. It's not a huge highway. But he was just over it in no time. And here's where the little tiny, I keep calling it a church, but a little steeple, that little house I'm talking about.
I know the exact one.
Oh, funny. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So right there. So that now tells, and that gave me a reference. And in the, what am I heading? I guess I'd be heading west. It's kind of the highway kind of turns, but I'm going to call it west towards Monroe. So off to the right is that little chapel. Fields there, as you know, just some farm fields, a couple hundred yards at best of those, and then woodline. That's it. Straight up into the Cascade Mountains, trees, forest, all of that. So the Sasquatch crosses the road, passes behind the view of the church steeple, so gives me a reference, and he's right there within close of it, into the fields that were growing. They were growing corn or something. They were darn near 5 foot tall stalks. This guy was 3 or 4 foot above that, which gives me my height. You know, I've seen how many shows, so of course I'm doing it all. So my head guesstimating, I don't know, 9-ish foot tall. And he didn't turn around this time, didn't turn around, blink an eye at me, just started trucking through the fields. He had a place to go, was going from A to B, ran off into the woods. So, and I have more exciting stories, but I'll tell you that one, I'm not done with this one either, but he ran off, and that I still was thinking, okay, maybe it's my metaphysical sight or my psychic eye or this, that, and the other, spinning it 20 ways in my head. Oh no. I get the wherewithal. I look in my rearview mirror, and there's cars pulling off the road, going on the side. I'm like, oh, I guess they probably saw something too. And I just continued on, sort of thing. And but yeah, he didn't turn around and wave or anything. I'm just kidding around, but it was clear as day because by the time I got up to that little church, he was just, I don't know, 50 yards off in the field. I mean, you could see what it was. And he was just ran off in the forest. And then I went on to the prison and. The stories from that work in there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because for people that aren't from this area, that you're calling it a church because it is a place where you can pull over, like you were saying, and worship, but it is tiny. So it really does give you a sense of scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was that. Yeah. And he passed behind it. So again, it wasn't like a half a mile behind it, because you could see where he entered the field. I mean, it's grown corners. I mean, it had been corn being that tall. But it was right in that area. So it was,
that's amazing.
Yeah, the first visual encounter I had. But yeah, no, I've got other stories
Well, I was going to just like interject that there's lots of different names for him. And the course that I'm taking, they kind of go over them. We know Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Stick Devil, Kushtaka, Wild Man, Ape Man, Yeti. There's all sorts of names for him. And then also, I just have to ask, because during the course they were talking about there can be gray fur, white fur, brown fur, black fur. And one person who is an elder in a tribe, he observed that maybe that what happens with us as, you know, Homo sapiens is the same with them, is that they can have a darker hair when they're younger, and then it thins and grays when they're older. So I have to ask, what was the color of the fur of the Sasquatch you encountered?
Lighter brown. I'm trying to think of something here I could grab.
Like a minky brown.
Yeah. Well, kind of like, I don't know what the fuck's on video.
Yeah, like a rusty brown.
He wasn't a gray one or anything like that. And I'll tell you more input on that too. The frequency changes. So on the frequency of the Sasquatch that they can hold, so we'll say the metaphysical capabilities changes that as well. It's all in it, because I got crystals in here that I straight up just zapped the color out of. This is a smoky quartz tower that was all smoky. I know I'm moving it fast and all that, but it pulls the color right out of this just doing energy work in the office of all kinds of trinkets. Yes. And they do the same thing.
Oh, they do the same thing. Okay, and so maybe that fur color is a reflection of that, like, energy exchange?
Not always, but often. So if they have the gray ones or lighter colored ones, ringing my ears right now, that's a whole energy thing too. So they can hold certain frequencies, and when that happens, it affects what's around you. And sometimes that's your fur. Some people, humans do it. They'll have a shock and awe moment. Somebody's strand of hair will go white overnight, or this, that, and the other.
Totally.
Yeah, and that's an energy thing. Usually, it's a shock, and sometimes at night, it's a dream energy thing, and it comes in. So, but yeah, that happens.
Wow, that's so interesting. Okay, so we got to go back for people, because one thing I did mention in the intro at the top, but you are you seem very uncomfortable with any sort of titles for what you do, but you are, I'm just going to tell people, I have done a session with Derek where he does a medical healing, and then he takes your higher self, and he's kind of talking with that higher self and giving you some guidance and pulling away some attachments. And it is so worth doing. So if you do anything at the end of this episode, get on Mystical Wares and sign up for that as a gift for yourself. But it brings me back to the energy and the metaphysical piece. And I just want to dive in more. So had you, before your actual encounter with him in 2016, you'd been places and sensed him, that energy? Tell us more about that metaphysical vibrational side.
Yeah. And for those listeners as well, in some societies, people like me are called seers. Because I have vision as well. I get to see stuff, and often it comes off, I'm pointing for whoever's watching video, off to the right. I mean, a lot of it's there, not always, but it is. So I've always had the visions or the sight. It's like your imagination coming real just on another frequency. As I'm even saying it, my ears are just ringing like crazy. You know, typically people say that's tinnitus. No, it's an energy thing. Yeah, absolutely. So with that sight, and I like perceiver. So I'm an energy perceiver. It's just like when we eat food, we don't just taste it. We see it, we feel it, we experience it. We get happy about it, hopefully. Same thing when I perceive. So then I get to communicate and things like that. So I've always communicated, but as I've progressed, I like that word better. My metaphysical senses that we call chakras down here have advanced, and those have kind of turned into, like I said, metaphysical senses. So they merge with my physical senses, and, you know, then you see more. So, and that means hearing more too, and communicating. So I've communicated, but again, that was the first physical one running straight by me. Since then, a lot more and other things happening. And it does happen that way as you realize it can happen and get excited about it. They pick up on energies big time.
Well, that's another question I have for later on, but let's just hit it now. So I have an older, my adult kid in Colorado, and their name is Nora, and they have this 12 acres in Colorado by the Red Rocks Amphitheater, and they are super comfortable with fae, with you name it, but Sasquatch makes them super nervous. And so we went to the Sasquatch Outpost in Bailey, Colorado. Amazing little museum. But they had this whole display about the things that sometimes Bigfoots can put in trails or on the road to indicate that that's where they've been or that's their place. And a lot of those same things have occurred on my eldest's land. And so they were really nervous because one of them is right in a place where you can just feel it's a portal and it wasn't a negative thing. And so there's a fear for some people when they move forward with Bigfoot or Sasquatch. So how do we transform that fear, help them to be curious or loving instead of, because you can attract things if you're leading with fear.
No, that's a good point. That is. And they are, they're healers. They're a people, first of all. They're not an animal any more than we're an animal. If anything, we're more an animal than they are. No, they're people, and I communicate with them. And here in my office, they come in etherically or remotely, as you would call it. And they, and that startled me the first time because I work with all kinds of entities and things. All of a sudden, I see a Sasquatch appear behind the person. And this person doesn't tell me. And later on, and he has, is a gentleman, he has long sleeve shirt on. And I go, I don't want to freak you out, but I don't, you know, there's a Sasquatch behind you. And he goes, no. And he grabs his sleeve, yanks it up. He's a big old Sasquatch tattoo on there and blah, blah. He starts to tell me it's a spirit. Oh, there he is now. That's funny. Lights me up too. Yeah. It's the whole energy thing. You'll feel in your heart chakra. And that's what they do. So the Sasquatch. Yeah, you will. I can see it.
It's like I drank a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And my cheeks are flushing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I get to see you like spark or sparkle in your biofield of
aura. It's a sparkle. Yeah.
Exactly. And they come in. They came in as a healer. I'm like, whoa, I knew you guys were real. And he starts chatting with me. So I didn't get the psychic manual when I started doing all this stuff. I like to make fun of that. Yeah. So I have to learn it as I go too. And as my understandings of this reality expanded to encompass Sasquatch as a people, well, guess what? All of a sudden they started communicating. And that's the thing. And they're healers. They're straight up loving. Wow. They don't want to do bad things. But like anything else, is good, bad, and indifferent. Yeah. You know, don't go running out there with guns and stuff. But no, they come in as assistants or guides to often a lot of the humans I see. You know, the more nature-minded ones.
Well, you brought up two things. First of all, it gives me goosebumps because I feel like our conversation is predestined because yesterday night I had been doing my class, the David Pilates class, and then I decided to do a meditation before I went to sleep. And it was this amazing, powerful meditation that I loved. It turns you into this ultraviolet lamp that you're like supercharging and you're helping people but yourself and burning away the stuff that doesn't serve you or whatever. So then I went to brush my teeth and behind me is a mirror and in front of me is a mirror. And I could see in the reflection, this huge, tall figure. And I thought, that's Sasquatch. And I thought to myself, okay, this is a time to try this out. Let's not be in fear. And it's like, that is amazing. Thank you for stopping by, but this is my bathroom. So I have to set a boundary. So like what you're saying isn't, it resonates so in truth. And then the second story was in the class, David Pilates was reading these old articles and I'm going to cry. Because two of the articles were about people in the 1900s that had these wild men and they imprisoned them. And that's so wrong because they're people. You would never treat anybody you love that way. So I just felt awful for what happened in the past to people that have, I don't know, had that reaction.
Yeah, anyway. I know the stories you're talking about too. Yeah, and I won't get into those either. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Oh yeah. Nope. That's
because they are healing. I don't, somehow I must have gathered that from you in the past, but they are healing energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're more connected to nature than most of us. Oh yeah. They're not out on their cell phones all day long. They communicate. They do all kinds of things. I've got another story here locally. So, you know, Mount Baker, Well, yeah. I was up there with my daughter, Olivia, and we were out in with the intention of communicating with Sasquatch. And when you do that, that's like putting a message out on the board. If they're interested, they will. We were out hiking the mountains. And for some reason, I kept seeing in my third eye or psychic eyes, as you can call it, jewelry, a bracelet. I'm like, okay, well, didn't know what that was all about. So I don't say anything out loud. So we go up, we hear some calls, very unusual ones. And I should also mention this certain trail, there were no other vehicles. There was nobody up there before us. We were the first ones out that morning. I'm all about going out there alone if I can do it. So, you know, we get out there right when it, you know, is dawn and again, no other people on the trail. So we go out, walk up this narrow path. It's very clear. It's just gravel. So it's halfway maintained. We go up. We hear the calls. We call back a couple times. It does that. Some loud banging from a couple points. We don't see anything then. But we realize because we look down the mountain that, you know, people are starting to come up a ways. So we start heading back down. And still, we're probably, I don't know, half a mile from anybody else. That's where the bracelet I was mentioning I saw. And by the way, it was blue. We were walking down and there just happened to be, and this wasn't there when we were walking up because we have to step over these spots. There was a little mini pine tree. So baby pine tree right in the middle of the trail. And it wouldn't trip you because they're so small, but you can't miss it. And hanging on it as we walked back was a little crystal bracelet. Yeah, it's like mine too. A blue one hanging on there too. My daughter still has it somewhere to this day kind of thing because I was given telepathically the message and it was for her and she found it. She's walking. She stopped, paused on the trail, looks down at it, looks at me. She goes, did you do that? I go, I'm behind you. I didn't do anything. And that tree wasn't even there. I don't know how that all happened. The tree coming up to is maybe a foot tall. So we're not talking a really big tree, but right in the middle, a brand new little tree sprout with the bracelet on it. There's my ear ringing like crazy right now.
Yeah.
We gifted her a bracelet is what it was, of course. So that was another one. So that was a really interesting one where it was a tangible thing. And since then,
yeah,
lots of stories where her and I go out gifting fruit and quartz crystals or shungite in spots, not on a trail, off. We'll go. I could trail for a couple miles and just random right turn and just go here, there, and wherever nobody's been. And you can tell, leave the gifts out there, sit down, have our calming moment, come back. There'll be an exchange of gifts, be it wound branches into shapes and things like that. And some of that I've seen on Sasquatch shows, all that kind of stuff. And sorry, I'm going 100 miles an hour because I'm keep remembering it.
Love it.
On the trails. Because I had my sight, so I can see some of these. And I saw it, and it was really hazy. Usually I see more. I'm like, oh, there's a couple, I guessed young because they were shorter. So I kind of jumped to that. And I'm like, oh, Olivia, there's a couple right. And it was a dead, calm day. And right next to us, a branch, I don't know, 3 feet long, just swings straight down. Like, is you know, it was a visible thing to her. And she's all, because I was telling her, they're standing right there. Just feel the energy. And they go, we'll show her. I'm like, and then before I can even think that in my head to tell her, they're going to show you. Boom, the branch just goes down like 2 feet. Not like a subtle wind blowing it. I mean, it was like grabbed. So, yeah, the physical stuff is kind of cool to get to see and share with others.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And I think that that's a thing about Nora's trepidation about Sasquatch. Because that's where I feel that the things that are on their land, that house and that property was just waiting for them to buy. And it's, I think that they've always thought of themselves as stewards of that land. They've only owned it for a year. And Sasquatch is part of the reason why it was just waiting for them and some developer didn't take it and rip down everything. They're stewards of that land, like it's a little park that they're holding. And so it might be a thank you and a welcome, not supposed to generate fear. It's like, we've got your back kind of thing.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do that. Now they know they can, we can do that. We can walk into a room and feel energy and emotions and things like that to one degree or another, every one of us. They sure can because they're in touch with that emotional body or energy body. They're not fools. They know who's living around and they know. So, and they're, yes, they do appreciate that kind of thing. They appreciate us going out in the woods picking up trash, things like that, spreading shungite out there, grounding earthing stones. And that's not just some crazy woo-woo stuff. Yeah. I'm just making fun of it. It's all science, mm-hmm. too. And that's not lost on them as far as it being an energy tool. And they've appreciated quartz crystals I've taken out there. Now, they're energy workers big time.
I'd never even thought about giving that as an offering. When we were in Colorado, we did an offering to the Tommyknockers, and it just felt right. And I had this little gold bird, and it just felt right. So give to Sasquatch too. So they're highly intelligent. People talk about them as dimensional jumpers, because there's been instances where there have been tracks and then they just disappear. Have you ever had experience with that?
Oh, yeah. And I know what they do, because they don't fully disappear when they do that often. And that was a honed sense. What they're doing, I don't like the word dimensional, because that makes us think about a different place or something. What they do is they go to a different density. So if we think of ourselves on a radio, they just turn the dial from, I love country music, from country music to something else. Yeah, frequency. So what they'll do is generate an emotion around their energy body, which is a greater portion they use, that puts them at a frequency with us. So you can call it lots of things. You can call it going invisible. No, they're in a different density and energy. Just like turning on your desktop fan, you can see the blades when it's on slow or low. Turn that sucker on high, it goes invisible. Same thing.
Yes. Oh my God, you just blew my mind.
They access all 12 of their DNA strands. We have 12 too. I don't know what they tell you. You got two or three. I don't even know what the doctors say. But you got more. And they're your metaphysical strands. And all you have to do is think about it, get excited that you know about them now, and guess what? Those little suckers start working. And then your chakras, which are your metaphysical senses, like I said, sink in. And then all of a sudden you perceive it all at once. And you never know how that's going to manifest. But that's what they do. Yeah, they change your energy field.
So have you been able to have any sorts of conversations with them? Like, I have so many questions, and maybe I should just go out in nature and ask to connect with them. But are they creating art, and is it out there for us to see? And have we like misattributed it to some old culture and it was them? So art was a big one. Do they dream? Do they sleep and dream?
Okay, that's good questions. Yes, I've communicated with them. I haven't asked them any of that stuff. Usually when they come in, we're dealing with a client, they're like, I don't call them in. They just pop in. I'm like, oh, yes, this is one's with you. And again, usually the person has a synchronicity or a tie-in, or, oh my gosh, I just thought of Sasquatch this morning, or whatever. On the art part, yes, they do some of the drawings and things. They'll take rock. So any of the ones, it's not the ink ones. It's the ones where rock are carved in, where it looks like it was like laser etched. So the etched ones are them. Yes. Yeah, those they do. Oh, wait, what else? What was the other thing you asked me? What was the other?
A dream.
Yes and no, they exist in dreams are just another density as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we're not restricted to this vehicle called a body. They sure in the heck are. So they're conscious dreamers. So they dream while they're moving. There is no separation. I don't know how to term that, because we don't really have words for it. But you kind of get the gist of it. So, they can step into dream. So let's say an ancestor of theirs transitioned or passed on or died. Well, they didn't die. They're in dream state. So then they just imagine it, just like I do, in remote perceiving. They used to call it remote viewing. Nah, you can remote perceive. So they don't have to go to sleep to do it. It's a conscious thing. And I think we can all do it.
I swear that was my next question, was about burial rites. But really, if it's a matter of density, they probably have a different grief and bereavement process than us, because they know they can access that loved one in a different way.
That's not even different from us. That's what I do. I can see what we call dead people. Not dead people. They're disincarnate. You're out of your vehicle. You're not your body anyway. You're an energy being. And they can just jump in another body just like we can. So, they can just focus and see their passed on grandma, grandpa, whatever I don't know what they call them. But, so that's just, I'm not worried about it. So people that have passed in my life, no, they're out of the physical body. But that means they're closer. They're here instantly. And they were anyway. But, it's just a different way. And there's my ears ringing again. it's just once you expand your understanding, any of us, not just you, our understanding, and go have that aha moment or epiphany and go, oh, they really don't go anywhere. Then guess what? All of a sudden it turns on more. That's how it goes. Yeah, I'm sure there's a scientific term.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just a matter of acknowledging it, because my dad does that too. It was the other day, and I can't even remember. I went into the kitchen and there's a light that blinks and I know it's my dad. And I told my dad a month ago, because he was making it blink so much, I said, I think I need to replace the light bulb. Or is this really you, Dad? So then he got quiet with the light. And then last week he started it up again, but it was the intermittent. And I talked to him and I said to him, if you were in the physical world, I wouldn't be in California visiting you. And here you are having coffee with me every single day. So I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's science fact too. I'm a geek. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about the science too. And I won't bore you with all that, but no, it is.
No, I love that.
Yeah, it is a thing. And there were energy beings. And the more I realize that, then the more, as I reference here off to the right, the more I get to see the stuff, because I'm just open to it and it just turns on. It's not a special recipe I've been taught somewhere. It's a get out of my own way and head and beliefs and know that anything's possible, and then hang on for the ride, because you never know.
Hang on for the ride is right. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, I love your stories. Wait, you said you had another story that you teased earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was just looking at him like, so, and this brings my dad in. So he's, his name is David. He's, oh, geez, what is he, 85, 86 now? So I get to talk about this stuff. He's actually, and I didn't know this until, oh my gosh, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, this part of the story. I grew up, so I'm ex-Army myself. So I was in, I got lots of Army stories that are going in here with the metaphysical stuff in the book I'm writing. But for this one, what I knew was he was ex-Marine. So we'd go back and forth, you know, Army's better, Marine, better, blah, blah, blah. And that's the thing. So, and that's all I knew. Yeah, that he was Marine. Oh, no. By the time when he was just turning 80, I think it was, he was, at that property in Gold Bar. I didn't tell him the story about the Sasquatch because he's 80 just about at that time. What he at that time tells me, he wasn't Marines. He was ex-NSA. So he was a straight up spy. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, he goes, you know, he's a thing called the NSA. I'm like, Dad, I know what the NSA, he doesn't know what I know. So I'm like, you know, having fun. And I'm like, he goes on to tell me about them flying them different places. And I'll keep some of the short because it isn't Sasquatch tied. But apparently he had some metaphysical stuff going on in him, too. My mom was psychic, too. They didn't, it wasn't called that then, but she was. Because he could translate Morse code instantly in his head. So long story short, they put him and his team on a plane, fly him over. He'd hear the Russian Morse code. Oh, my ears ringing again. And he would just translate it right there on the fly and things like that. So a lot of other, you know.
Okay. Thank you both for your service. But also you came by it genetically on both sides.
As we found out, and there's even other crazier stories. I found out, my mom was kidnapped for a day by somebody in a van and brought back. They did that to me too later in life. So I got crazy stories, but back to my dad's one first. Let me think. Oh, so find out the spy thing. And he tells me all of that. And then, and he owns 44 acres in Fort Jones, California. So for those who don't know, on the coast, Northern California, all woods. He has no neighbors. He's on his 40 something acres. And what he has on his land, and there's a reason I'm telling you all this, a lot of logging trails, because, again, for those that don't know, and I know you know, logging happens up here. This place wasn't logged for who knows how many decades because there are big trees. So that's where he has his house built. He goes on to tell me while he's sitting in his – brought his RV up to Gold Bars where I was staying, like I said, pulls up to my house and just chills out in that for a week. And we hang out while I'm in between my correctional officer job. You know, he's retired. Didn't much matter. So on one of these just random nights, he gets into this. Again, I'm like, NSA, you could have told me that. I wouldn't have said anything, you know, a long time ago. But then he starts to say, well, Derek, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, what? What now? And he goes on to tell me this story. And he's a real, actually, before I even tell you the story, he used to be the district manager also of the auto club or AAA. So he's a suit and tie guy, just straight to the point. not a jokester or anything like that. So he goes on to tell me, he says, Derek, I was walking on the path, which was just an old logging road that was on there. And he's also an old gold prospector, just like I am, which is where I get it from. So that whole Bering Sea gold thing, I was up in Nome, Alaska in 2012 with a couple dredges because I'm an ex-commercial deep sea diver too. That's another story. Jeez. But I'm bringing
Look at
that
all
in.
The lifetimes you've had in this lifetime.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
I know. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. So he tells me I'm walking down this trail and I'm telling you that part to go because his head is down. He's looking down. He's a rock hound. We call ourselves rock hounds and things like that. Yep. You know, so his face is looking down, looking for his, he's always looking for his next, because he finds gold mines and veins and sells them and stuff like that still at this age. So he's looking down, walking out there. He says, I stopped and looked up and he said about 30 feet from me, there was this figure and he goes on to describe. And he doesn't have words for it. He's, again, 80-something here. He doesn't know the word Bigfoot or Sasquatch. He's not watching cable TV. He's watching whatever his old shows are. Actually, it's football. That's why. But all he's watched for decades. He's just that guy. So he has no comprehension. Starts to describe. He says 8 or 9 feet tall, big, hairy figure completely. And he says, I go, Dad, that was a Bigfoot. He goes, it probably had big feet. He was really tall. I'm like, no, it's called a Bigfoot. And he just kind of looks at me. And then he goes on with this. Again, he's 80. So he goes on with this story. I go, well, what was he doing? I said, what was it doing? And he goes, standing there eating berries. Because on his, and that was his property. He has some blackberries or boysenberries, whatever they are, that are everywhere in this area. Sure. Along the side of the road, they're a rock. You're going to hit a berry bush. He said he stopped, and he's really quiet. So little old man shuffling down this wood road, comes around the corner. So really quiet. Not putting off a bunch of angst and anxiety. So I'm saying energetically, not drawing a lot of attention. Yeah. Of no harm, but not even a butterfly. So he comes around, stops, sees him eating berries. For about a minute, he stares at him. Because I ask him all these things. I go, well, what do you do? How long? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, tell me everything. He says, I just watched him eat berries. And then I go, well, for how long? He goes, maybe a minute. And then he looked up, the Sasquatch, turned around, faced my dad, and they're just, again, not far away, stares at him. They look at each other. Neither one say a word. I said, did he make any noises? Did he threaten? He goes, no, he didn't do anything. He just stood there. He was completely hairy. And he said, I said, then what? I said, we looked at each other for about a minute. He turned, stepped over the bushes. He said, over him, and then ran off into the woods. And he said, that was his whole sign. He says, and by the way, it took him 2 years to tell me that. Really? It didn't even occur to him to tell me. And my sister I called my sister up, who's a nurse. She goes, oh, yeah. You mean Dad didn't tell you that? Because, man, he's in his 80s. He's just not – and he doesn't know I'm doing what I'm doing anyway. So it's just it's a situation. So I'm like, Dad, that was a Sasquatch. He doesn't know what that word is. I'm like, Bigfoot. So I'll get my phone and show him some stuff. He says – That was it. He basically ran off in the woods, and that was my dad's story, with no foreknowledge that was even a thing. And the whole description, it was more, saying there was brown hair, was so long, and this, that, and the other. Your typical visual Sasquatch.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, I have a question that comes from my little nephew, Parker, because he loves Bigfoot. It's like become his latest little obsession. And so he's a huge Bigfoot fan, and he wants to know if Sasquatch likes to swim, or is he afraid of water, and does he like to swim in pools or rivers, or this is from Parker.
That's a great question, Parker. And yes, actually, there's video of one swimming. So up here in the Northwest, we have ferries everywhere, ferry terminals that you can drive your cars on, for people that don't know, and it will get you to one of the islands or this, that, and the other. There's video of a Sasquatch straight up swimming to one of the islands out there that, I don't know, dozens of people got on video. And something you do decent. Actually, that stuff disappears pretty quick. But you can get on the internet and try and find it. Yeah. They swim. I've seen them in a lake at a distance. It was Spada Lake up in, for the locals, up near Sultan and Gold Bar and all that. I used to hike a lot, go up in the deep off trails and stuff. And that's where you'd see them. But they love swimming. Oh, yeah, they'll swim. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Well, and there was a story. I knew that you saw that Sasquatch is, you know, a loving, healing human being. But I just, for the listeners, I found a couple other stories. One of them was an affidavit, and I'll look and see if I can find it up here. So he took an affidavit of a single mom, and her son was on a motorbike, and he was like using this path to go up the mountain and then down the mountain. So she was listening and not paying attention. And then she thought, well, maybe I should probably look at him. And as he's going up the mountain trail, there's a Bigfoot behind him, running behind him, and then hid in the bushes. And then he'd go down the hill on his motorbike, and the Bigfoot would go down with him. And the second time it happened, the mom got kind of uncomfortable. So she made her son come inside. But then days and weeks and months passed, and she realized that Bigfoot was just playing with her son. And they were like almost the same age because it was a smaller stature Bigfoot. And so they're playful. And that backed up a lot of the accounts from a lot of tribal elders that they realized that we perceived them as maybe something scary or different than us. But the truth is they're just often trying to play or find a way to interact with us like, hey, we're here too. Don't be afraid.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that actually was lost on me. And my experiences with them are so extreme on the positive that I am literally lost sometimes thinking that people think negative of them. Because I don't watch those type of shows. I'm like, what are you even talking about? No, that's like, for me, saying licorice is bad. I love licorice.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I love licorice too. So does my husband.
Apparently I'm hungry. But no, Sasquatch, it's all positive, good things. So that literally doesn't even come through my thought because of the experience. No. I mean, that's not to say if there's a not so nice human out there with bad intentions, just that they're going to try and get rid of you to a degree, like scare you out of there. I mean, don't us humans do worse than that sometimes? But they're not malice. There's no malicious intent there. No, they're positive entities. Yeah. And they're more spiritual or metaphysically advanced than we are, because we've dumbed ourselves down or limited ourselves or the fluorides, the chlorines, pick your thing in this reality that's affected our systems that we're perceiving through and limited it. But they're connected.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And they don't have all of the narrative that they have to fight against, which is kind of the cultural gaslighting too, where we're not strong, we're not powerful. We need something to give us that or endow us with that when it's like innate within us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once you realize that, it gets stronger too. Even the whole psychic thing or third eye thing, just realize it. I mean, it's like, not knowing you have muscles. Well, go lift some heavy things. Do it enough. Eventually, you're going to see your muscles and you're going to, it'll progress. That's just how it goes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I just have to reiterate, people should sign up for a session with you, because since our session, it's been crazy because it's this version of myself had died right before our session. It was this part of me that was like people pleaser, but also very empathic and like physically taking on people's pain. And then the next few months, I learned how to, with my higher self, to compartmentalize that and make that not my pain. I could acknowledge it. And then ever since then, I've been having this dream life that makes me empathetic to Bigfoot, where I'm crossing people over from that died and they didn't even know they died, or some do, and they need something to just cross over. And it's been this crazy, amazing journey since my session with you.
That makes sense. I mean, because what you're doing is, as your awareness heightens, as you understand more, put the pieces together of this reality, that's when you're what people call abilities. They're not abilities, they're understandings. Everybody has this. Yeah. Then they heighten more. An example is, a lot of people don't know you have more taste buds in your nose and more smell buds in your mouth and vice versa. Yeah. And then once you realize that, then you can do a lot more with it. And I'm just, weird example there, but it is a thing. So just realize also, and I'm speaking to everybody, what they call your imagination. So on somebody like me gets to cheat and see energies or frequencies. When I see somebody doing the psychic thing, I see certain frequencies or a certain channel, let's call it. Well, when somebody's using their imagination, it's the same channel. So what I'm saying is, use your imagination. Don't let anybody tell you it's fake. That's BS. It is absolutely real. It's in there that the messages often come, and they're from yourself a lot of the time. So don't expect to hear some voice with an accent or something like that. Don't be surprised if you do. But more often, it's yourself you're chatting with. And it does come in on that subtle, what I like to call the imagination layer, because we all have that.
Yeah. And you had me working on the connection between the head and the heart, I think. And so I'd been working on that, and it made perfect sense to me, because what it taught me is what, I mean, my example is I have a cat that's epileptic, and he would have a seizure, and it used to hurt my body when he had a seizure because I felt so awful for him. And I learned that that doesn't serve me, and it doesn't help me help him. And so instead, I can see his pain and comfort his pain, but it's not my pain. And that's the journey I needed to be on, to having these encounters with people in my nightlife. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And in fact, on our Mystical Wares YouTube page, so it should be able to be found like that, I just released a 3-hour class where I get into a lot of that with slides I put together and graphics and stuff. So that's all there for free.
Yeah.
Where I teach you about the energy containers and where we can all do these things.
Yes.
You really can. So it's just be open to it. And again, expand your understandings, and then the abilities heighten that we already have.
And I was going to, I do want to talk more about that class. Was amazing. I took that class, and you are so generous with your gifts and with your, you help people be abundant with your abundance, and it's just so powerful. But before we turn to that, and your book and your podcast, what else about Sasquatch do you feel like we're missing? Or how can maybe the listeners have that kind of experience that you and Olivia had, where you set an intention to have an interaction and then try that?
No, that's great. I'm glad you asked that. And it starts before you even leave the house, because what they pick up on is the space, not the space here in 3D physical reality, the space, the energy, the emotion you're holding. So what I'm saying is, get excited that you are about to meet a Sasquatch, not that maybe, that it's already happened. That's a thing too. And that ties into the healing. Yeah. You don't want to be healing. Yes. Yeah. You want to be healed. So then already know you can experience that. Get excited it's happened, and then take out. Now, in the 3D, because if you're going to probably have an interaction, you know, don't bring out a bag of M&Ms or something like that. Think more positive. Yeah, I mean, just think of that little kid in your life that you gave candy to rarely, how they respond. Well, just imagine somebody. Yeah, so not a good idea. Fruits, vegetables, things like that, feathers, shells.
Oh, yeah.
They like all those things because they make basically what we call orgone devices or organite. And I use shungite. Yeah. So we'll go out with that. And then they'll know. So literally, I'll just go through the recipe. Hold that in your head, your imagination. Say, oh, hey, Sasquatch, if any of you are listening, and you can say this in your proven scientific fact, telepathy is a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just speaking in your own head. Yep. And we all know that's real. So just do it with the intention of, you don't have to know the Sasquatch secret phone number. You just think it. And then those open to that will all of a sudden pick up on it. And that's how the whole psychic thing goes. And I'll make fun of it quickly. But go out with the right intentions and feelings, and then, yeah, get away from other people, because you don't know what songs they're playing in their aura at that time or biofield. So I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying, you know, it's your time and space. So then go where you can, and then hold space, get excited, have fun, set it down, chat, talk, and then hold on, again, like I was joking earlier, because you never know where it can go, from the branches moving, like I said, to stuff, and it's happened with us, an apple just gone, disappeared. We're looking around under the, we're just sitting on a tree stump, chit chatting, having fun, having our lunch, and then it's just straight up gone. And that one I couldn't explain at the time. I didn't have my sight fully on in that encounter. So I'm like, okay, I know what happened to it now. But then I'm like, wow. Basically, again, I'll just use the word phased into the density. And then once you hold something and you phase out, it's in your density. So then you phased out. So that's how you can do it. And there's a whole spaceship deal tied into that one and how they do it. But it's just a frequency. So that happens. And then, again, go out with – but, you know, don't be upset if all of a sudden you don't see, you know, Sasquatch Sam trucking right in front of you or something, because that might not always be a thing. And they're not here to perform for us, but they will appreciate. And if you go at it like that, and if, by the way, you're on your way out there and you see that little piece of paper or clothing somebody dropped or something, pick it up, put it in your pocket. That's, oh, I just lit up my heart chakra. That's not lost on them. That they know, even though it's our garbage, they understand the intention behind it. And then they'll pick up on that. So all of that matters. And then just go out and do that. And then be open to maybe, because let's keep it real too. Some people aren't ready to straight up see a 8, 9, 10 foot entity come trucking through their field. It's going to be a shock and awe thing. So maybe they'll hear it. Maybe they'll pick up, they'll feel it, a glitch in the matrix. I'll make fun of it. Who knows? Maybe your heart chakra, you're going to be a big one on that, being a huge empath.
Yeah.
You're going to end that big welling up sensation from nowhere. Well, it's not from nowhere.
Yeah, love.
Yeah. It's a frequency they're tuning. Mm-hmm. That's why you can grab a guitar, put it in one corner of the room, pluck a string, a guitar in the other corner, that same string will reverberate. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. You're emanating love. So then go out there and then you may hear a knocking. Again, just be open to any of it. And that's how it goes. And then name your, not now, but in any of these Sasquatch shows, be it a nest, as they call it, or a tree plucked up, stuck upside down in the ground. I've seen it all to where it was just straight up impossible for, you know, a human to go out and do it in some of these spots. So and especially in the Cascades, as you know, this is a great spot for it. So, you know, don't go to New York City Central Park. You know, get out. But and I'll stop here in a moment. What I will say is I've seen them in the desert. I used to live in Prescott, Arizona, in Prescott Valley, all over Arizona. In the, no tree. I couldn't find a tree anywhere. Trucking right through the desert. So they're in different locations that you wouldn't expect as well.
I just had a it's my imagination brought something forward, so I have to mention it. But I wonder if people, first of all, I wonder if people that have, they would have a visceral fear if they saw like a 9 or 10 foot creature, man, that they're the ones that maybe do smell it or hear footsteps, that kind of thing. So that makes sense. They're trying to be respectful in a way. And then the second thing is, this is what came forward, is what if we can ask Sasquatch, our higher selves can have a conversation and say, can you teach us to be more part of nature or, you know, something? And if they maybe would come forward and be a teacher to our higher self and us.
They will and do that. And always know it's going to be, you know, a metaphysical psychic communication to start with. And that's where you want it anyway, because 90% of this reality is metaphysical, 10% is physical, and that's just physics, science, fact. Get in the 90% is what I'm saying. Yeah, get in there. Use that. So you can, yes, communicate and work with Sasquatch right from your New York apartment building or my little shack I used to have way out in the woods. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you can do it. And they'll teach you stuff. And it's not a special secret pose or yoga position somebody has to learn. It's just, and I'm not dissing yoga. I can't do it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a space, a feeling of being, a state of being. Get in there, hold it. And as you mentioned earlier, it's called heart-brain coherence, moving energy from your third eye to your heart. That's kind of like an etheric workout. Do things like that. And there's lots of workouts. You're going to boost your metaphysical senses, your third eye and your heart. And you have another brain, as you were in that class, a whole sensory neuri. It's another brain in your heart chakra area. And that's that welling up that you can activate.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Well, before we hit the end of the hour, I wanted to ask you about your the podcast, Shungite Reality. And so can you tell us where people can find that and what your content is?
Sure. And, you know, hence the name Shungite Reality. So it's a mineral shungite. And I get a lot of that on our website as well. It's just it's not just any old mineral. It's great for earthing, grounding, communication. It's actually what helped me heighten to more of what I already was. And same thing for all of you. You're already active. You have these abilities. You just need to realize them. But that's, yeah, Shungite Reality. Any podcast platform out there, Google, Apple, any of them, Spotify, you can just type that in and we'll pop up. Or cosmicreality.net would be a website where we have the podcast live, the chat room. I'm also on a Cosmonaut Chronicles podcast.
I don't know about this one.
It's a brand new one. We actually just did one yesterday. So cosmonautchronicles.com. I'll spell cosmonaut because it's K-O. Wait, oh my gosh. So let me actually bring it up because we had to play with the words on it, is what it was on the name. So it's Chrononaut Chronicles, and it's K-R-O-N-O-N-A-U-T, and then the word Chronicles. So chrononautchronicles.com, and that's where four of us, so a chrononaut, think time traveler. And we come out and talk about all kinds of crazy stuff.
I can't wait to listen. Well, I don't want the listeners to panic because I'll have everything in the show notes. And then tell us about the book. You told us a few stories and a few memories, but tell us about the book you're creating.
I'm not a writer. This is my first time doing
it.
You're
a writer.
That's right. Actually, yeah, I love that response. Because now it is coming out, and that's the fun of it. Actually, I'm going to bring it up with you. Because when I am doing that, as I mentioned, the memories, I'm getting more to the story that I haven't, as these listeners already know, I go about 100 miles an hour all the time. So I barely slow down and realize what I've done or been through. But now that I'm doing the book, I'm going, oh my gosh, that did happen. There's this, there's that. And I've got those notepads on my phone. I've got notepads going now to get all this added in. So I called the book The Mystic Shungite Beekeeper is what it is. Like tying the Shungite bees and stuff. But, the pages are just rolling out. And I'm going to teach in there. It's not going to be a typical book. I go into my bio and kind of the what got me from A to Z and through that a few times, but then some teaching as well, because I'm all about not just giving you a fish, but teaching you to fish. And I think we should all do that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll try and get some maybe early chapters out or something.
That'd be great. And I feel like you should, you have a great voice. I feel like it'd be fantastic if you put it out there in YouTube, even a few chapters.
That's a good idea, actually. That's not a bad idea. I appreciate that. Yeah, I probably will do that. Especially the bee stuff, too.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the work that you've been doing through Mystical Wares and with the Shungite and the bees, it's eye-popping. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We're starting new Shungite beehives, as they're called. And for those listeners, there's more information on that on our website. But using a Shungite to help save the bees and colony collapse disorder. But yeah, it's a lot of fun working with them. The energy is fantastic.
Well, because they're giving you love right back. That's the thing is that I'm glad you're open to receiving it because, so the listeners, he does this once a month and then once a week. What do you call it? An energetic?
On our website. Yeah. On MissScores.com. So every Friday we have a free scalar energy session, and that's a whole nother podcast in itself, but it is all science. So scalar wave energy and it's received remotely. So long story short, you can sign up for free and we broadcast that frequency and you receive it on your end. And we describe this more on the website. And then on the first of every month, because I'm a remote energy worker, I do provide a free session there as well to where people can just sign up, put their name on the list, or your cat or dog. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is emanate. I'll tune the frequency of love. I know it can kind of sound corny, but nope, love matters. It absolutely does. So frequency of love, then whatever is best for that person, and they heal themselves is what ends up happening. That's how it always is. We can all heal ourselves. But sometimes we can benefit from others as well. So, and just realizing that that's a thing. And then they have that aha moment. And then they realize they're an energy worker. So, and all that is for free on Mystical Wares.
Well, and I'll point people to it in the show notes. And I can speak volumes about that because I thought for some reason it was going to be some Zoom class. So I put my name in for the first of the month. And then I went on your website and realized I'm not late to anything. It's already done. And then I just sat in meditation, just kind of, you know, just quietly in front of my computer. And all of a sudden, all this information came out. And it was funny because it was meant for you. There were like three messages. I'm writing so fast. And then I didn't even realize I had emailed it to you until I got the response from you of like, that's been super helpful. And I'm like, okay, that was crazy. So, but then I was literally tingling from the love vibration, and it did. It healed something in me that was weird in my lower back that I didn't even know I had. So,
you know what's funny?
Beautiful.
Good. That's awesome. I'm glad to say that because I was actually going to tell you it was a lower back thing. What's funny is I'll admit this now because it's this podcast and we were just talking Sasquatch. What I do on that free session on the first of every month, again, it's remote, all day long throughout the day, I stop and focus. And here's what I'm going to admit part. I have a little figure of a Sasquatch that somebody gifted me, who knows, way back when. I use that as think an avatar or a focus. That way I don't have to think of a person. And whomever signs up for that free session, in my intention, it is on that figure. And I'll put the love energy around that figure. And it's a little Sasquatch. And I don't usually advertise that. I could literally draw a stick figure done because it's all frequency and energy. But I happen to have the right idea and the love energy from that little figure. And like I said, I'll admit it on this podcast, it's a little Sasquatch.
Oh, well, you've got the right people that are like right now going, yes,
yeah,
you're my favorite person now. Well, it's an intriguing conversation. I know we still have more questions, but I'm hoping you will come back on Curious Cat. You have an open invitation anytime. And I really want you back to come on and tell us about your book as it's coming out into the world.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I had a great time. I'd be happy to come back. And yeah, well, this will be the place where I release some of the new stuff that's coming out then. That'd be fun.
You're welcome, anytime.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Derek.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yes, nature is powerful. It's also wondrous and magical. Just a moment standing in the shadow of a mountain or at the edge of a riverbed shrinks the ego and heals the soul. I hope Cascadia inspires you to dust off your backpack and venture into the wild. Who knows what mysteries lie ahead on the trail? If you happen to encounter something supernatural, drop us a line at curious_cat_podcast@icloud.com. Maybe your story will be featured in an upcoming episode. If you venture into nature, be safe out there. Let someone know where you're headed and when you plan to return. Until next time, stay curious. I love you.